Our sermon today picks up on the reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 14 through 27. We find out what happens when Micaiah comes to the king. When Micaiah had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" He answered, "Go up and triumph. They will be given into your hand." But the king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything favorable about me, but only disaster?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing to the right and to the left of him. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice King Ahab of Israel so that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' Then one said one thing and another said another, until a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, 'I will entice him.' The Lord asked him, 'How?' He replied, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' Then the Lord said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do it.'" So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these, your prophets. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaana, came up to Micaiah, slapped him on the cheek, and said, "Which way did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?" Micaiah replied, "You will find out on that day when you go in to hide in an inner chamber." The king of Israel then ordered, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him on reduced rations of bread and water until I return in peace.'" Micaiah said, "If you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Hear, you peoples, all of you." Thank you, God, for your word and the message we will discover in it. We've made it to the letter M. That means we're almost halfway through the alphabet and are through the Bible A to Z series. I hope we're eager to discover what these ancient stories have to tell us in our 21st century context. You know, a lot of people may say, "Oh, the Bible's not relevant to what's going on in our world today." While I would agree that we can't fit some of the circumstances and situations in the Bible into what we are facing today, I would also argue that some of the truths we learn from the Bible are completely compatible to things that are happening around us right now. Take Micaiah, the prophet who was a lone voice of reason and righteousness. How hard it must have been to be the one dissenting vote among a cast of 400 prophets all agreeing, "Yeah, Ahab, go fight at Ramoth-Gilead. You're going to win. Go for it." How hard it must be for some nowadays to speak up against the clamor and say things like, "Mask up, get the shot." Ahab hated Micaiah. The reason was simple. Micaiah didn't say the things Ahab wanted to hear. Micaiah didn't tell Ahab how wonderful and smart and benevolent and awesome he was. Ahab thought Micaiah was prophesying out of his personal dislike for Ahab. But Micaiah was a prophet. He wasn't petty. Micaiah told Ahab the truth, and Ahab heard it, hated hearing it. Micaiah knew, and this story shows, that even when Ahab was warned not to do something, such as not to go fight at Ramoth-Gilead, Ahab went on ahead and did what he wanted. And he wondered why he didn't prosper. He wondered why he didn't win. Well, Ahab, you get evil prophecies because you're an evil person. You threw your lot in with pagans and did evil things, and you didn't listen to or obey the Lord. Simple as that. Ahab's buddy Jehoshaphat seemed like a decent sort. These guys, their children were married, so they had that link. They were kings of the two parts of the divided kingdom, Ahab over Israel and Jehoshaphat over Judah. Ahab wanted to unite them in a common cause, attacking the city of Ramoth-Gilead. Jehoshaphat agreed to the plan. "My people are your people to use in this war. My horses are your horses." But he stipulated, "Maybe we'd better ask God about all this first." Ahab called for his 400 toadies, his prophets, and asked them about the venture. Yes, go. God will give Ramoth-Gilead into the king's hand, they said. What a hopeful prophecy, but there's one little detail they may have overlooked. God would give Ramoth-Gilead into the king's hand, but which king? Ahab? Jehoshaphat? Or some other king, even the enemy king? There was something about the 400 prophets that didn't set quite right with Jehoshaphat, some false note that rang in their rants, some subtle dissonance about their prophesying. Were these even real prophets? They didn't utilize the common prophetic pronouncement formula, "Thus says the Lord," which is always a clear indication that the words a prophet spoke were actually the words of the Lord. Jehoshaphat asked if there was a real, godly prophet available. And Ahab scowled when he mentioned Micaiah. "He always says bad things about me." But he begrudgingly sent for Micaiah, more to appease Jehoshaphat than to hear and accept what Micaiah would say. Micaiah's reputation as a dissident, some would even say rebel, must have been well known, because even the servant who went to fetch him, possibly from prison where Ahab may have thrown him precisely because of all his distressing prophecies, even that servant said, "Look, yo, everybody else is telling Ahab and Jehoshaphat that things are going to go well. They're all saying the same thing, so you be sure to say what they say." Micaiah gave a wonderful, powerful answer to this person who was trying to talk him into going along with the status quo. "As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak." This is the courageous hill Micaiah chose to die on. No matter how other people might try to persuade him otherwise, no matter what everybody else was saying, Micaiah had made up his mind. No matter how hard it might be to be the lone voice of dissent, no matter how much Ahab hated hearing what he had to say, Micaiah was going to say whatever God told him to say. His calling and his allegiance was to a higher power than Ahab and to a higher purpose and a higher person. Micaiah could not be bribed or otherwise persuaded to join the 400 liars. He had the true heart of a prophet. He was not there to make Ahab feel good about himself. He was not there to kowtow to him and flatter him and try to get on Ahab's good side. His only allegiance was to God. His only desire was to do God's will and speak God's word. Nothing was going to convince him to do otherwise. If he had to be the one voice saying no against the chorus of yeses, that he would be. He feared more disappointing and disobeying God than he feared upsetting Ahab. They were waiting for him when he came to the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. Ahab and Jehoshaphat decked out in their royal robes, sitting on their thrones, the 400 other prophets dancing around them. One of them, Zedekiah, took a pair of horns, a symbol of power and invincibility, and proudly proclaimed, "You're going to gore the Arameans until they're destroyed. Go on and fight at Ramoth-Gilead. You're going to win," the other prophets kept singing. More people shouting louder doesn't make a false prophecy any more true. Then everyone turned to Micaiah. Ahab asked him outright, "Should we go to Ramoth-Gilead or not?" "Go up and triumph," Micaiah said. This was the answer Ahab wanted to hear, but he still didn't like it. There must have been something in Micaiah's tone, a touch of sarcasm, or maybe he smirked as he answered the angry king, and that made Ahab scream at him, "How many times do I have to tell you? Tell me the truth in the name of the Lord." Ahab had a lot of nerve calling on the name of the Lord when he wasn't going to listen to whatever God said to do or not do. I can just see Micaiah pulling himself up to stand straight and tall. I can see him raising his eyes heavenward, and I can hear him pronouncing in a deep prophetic voice, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" It was a prophecy of disaster. As the horns of Zedekiah were a symbol of power, so the shepherd of the sheep was a symbol of a king and his people. This was a stark warning that Ahab's venture would end with his death and leave his people leaderless. You would think such a dark prophecy would scare Ahab and make him decide to forego his mission, but all it did was make him scoff at Jehoshaphat. "See, I'm a prophet in my own right. I told you Micaiah would only talk of disaster concerning me." And then Micaiah dug the knife in deeper. I have seen God in his heaven on his throne, a righteous throne, not these rinky-dinky seats that you two are sitting on. I saw the host of God's servants on both sides of the throne, and I heard God send out the challenge. Who's going to entice Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and get killed? The spirits brainstormed different ideas, and one came up with a solution. I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouths of the 400 prophets Ahab depends on. That'll convince him to go. Oh, that's a good idea. And God gave the spirit the go-ahead. The 400 prophets had no idea they had been duped. They were secure in their own self-righteousness. But yeah, 400 prophets can be wrong. Zedekiah didn't like what Micaiah said. You're calling all of us liars? As frustrated and foiled people often do, Zedekiah reacted with violence, slapping Micaiah across the face and asked, "When did God's spirit leave me and go to you?" The more you read of this encounter, the more you have to admire Micaiah, not only for his determination to follow and present the word of God without glossing over it or trying to sugarcoat it to appease Ahab, not only for his clear and unwavering description of the vision he had seen and what it meant, Micaiah also showed great restraint. Instead of reacting to Zedekiah's assault by hitting him back, he stood his ground even more firmly. He didn't retract what he said. He didn't try to minimize the truth he spoke. Even as Ahab's servants seized him to throw him back in jail with an order to serve him reduced rations of bread and water, he didn't acquiesce or crumble. "If you return in peace, Ahab, the Lord has not spoken by me," he said as a parting shot. "If you come back in one piece, Ahab, I ain't no prophet." Here we learn the mark of a true prophet. What he or she says comes to pass. I've told you before, prophets are not sent to say on such and such a date, this and that will happen. Prophets are sent to call people to follow the Lord faithfully, to heed God's warnings of disaster and distress if they don't repent and turn back to the Lord. That is the work of the prophet. Not predictions or prognostications, but warnings of what can and will happen if the people continue to ignore and disobey God. Everything God says through the mouth of a true prophet always comes to pass, always, always. And if it does not come to pass, you can be sure this prophet was not a prophet of God. I'm thinking of a certain sect that has predicted numerous times over the year, "Hey, Jesus is coming back in 1967. And when that didn't happen, they go, "Oh, wait, we miscalculated. He's coming back in 1972. And when that didn't happen, they go, "Wait, we'll work up the formula again and give you the exact date when Jesus is coming back." There are two reasons why we don't have to pay attention to them next time they come out and set a date for Jesus' return. Their first prediction was wrong, so that proves they are not God's prophets. And second, not even Jesus knows when he's coming back, so how would they know? Don't need to listen to them. But we do have to prepare and watch and follow the proper prophet's warning to stay close to God and to listen for God's word and obey it. Well, what happened to Ahab? Somehow he convinced Jehoshaphat to go on with the plan to go to war. Jehoshaphat should have opted out right after hearing Micaiah's proclamation. He was the one who asked for the true word of God. He got it, and he should have been brave enough to say, "This doesn't look good for you, Ahab. Let's not go." But he went along with Ahab, and he went along with Ahab's idea that Ahab would disguise himself, but Jehoshaphat would wear his royal robes into the battle. The king of Aram told his soldiers not to fight with anyone but the king of Israel. Seeing Jehoshaphat in his robes, the soldiers began chasing him, and Jehoshaphat screamed like a little girl and ran. The soldiers realized he wasn't the king of Israel, so they stopped pursuing him. God helped Jehoshaphat that day, drawing the soldiers away from him and thus saving his life. An unknown soldier took his bow and shot a random arrow into the air, and that arrow just happened to strike Ahab. He propped himself up in his chariot until evening when he bled to death. So Micaiah's prophecy came true. Ahab was defeated and killed. He didn't come back to Samaria in one piece. One wonders, what happened to Micaiah? Did they let him out of jail since Ahab died? Did they say, oh man, you were right? Did Zedekiah recall what Micaiah had said as he hid in an inner chamber as the Arameans overtook the city? We don't know Micaiah's fate, but again, we can take his example to heart. We can boldly say that we will not say anything but what the Lord tells us to say, however hard it may be to say, however hard it may be to hear. We will not bend down and pander to even the most powerful of persons to appease them and tell them what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. We will not sugarcoat the direct word of the Lord to please anyone. We will speak with conviction and power. We will not heed those who make outlandish predictions that do not come true. God's word to us might not be the popular thing to say, but it is always the right thing to say. We will wait on the word of the Lord, and we will follow the will of our God, just as Micaiah did. Hear, you peoples, all of you. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us words to live by through your servant, the prophet Micaiah. As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Give us his power and his poise. Give us your true word to speak even to those who don't want to hear what we say. Help us to stand tall and firm when we must be the lone voice of dissent, to keep our cool even when confronted with violence. May we never succumb to peer pressure to conform. May we always instead confirm your will and your way. Amen.